In our scripture reading for this morning, you can find in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 17. Luke 17, and we will read the first 19 verses. Our focus for today will be on verses 11 through 19, but we'll read beginning at verse 1 through verse 19. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. And the Lord said, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, Go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants, which have done that which was our duty to do. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto them, Arise, unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. This far our scripture reading for this morning. Dear congregation, our focus for today will be on Luke 17, verses 11 through 19, the story of the 10 lepers. And we can think of ourselves when we are in good health, and we certainly can be thankful for these things, because we are reminded often enough how quickly our health can be taken away, or through a little pain or sickness we can be laid low and stop from doing our daily work. But as soon as we recover, we continue and go on with our daily work. But how many times do we look past that, past the sickness and past the healing, to the giver of all blessings, to the giver of all health, to the one in whom we live and in whom we move and have our being? See, Jesus never healed just for the sake of healing. He always had a spiritual perspective, a spiritual lesson in mind. And everything that the Lord Jesus did was to reveal himself and to reveal what he has come on this earth to do. He even said he didn't want these miracles broadcast. He didn't want the news of the miracles to be spread around for their own sake. But what he wanted was the message of the gospel, the message of himself, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ was what was supposed to be spread around the world. And in our passage here this morning, Jesus reveals himself as the one who has come to cleanse sinners in the sight of God. And that through faith in the promises of the gospel, in the faith in his blood. And this cleansing comes by the grace of God and through faith in his word. And it'll end in the glory of the Holy One of Israel. It always is intended to end in the glory of God. And so our theme for this morning is simply this: 10 lepers cleansed. 10 lepers cleansed. And in the first place, we'll see that Jesus provides a precious opportunity. In the second place, Jesus gives an ordinary directive. And in the third place, Jesus interprets a revealing response. So in the first place there, Jesus provides this precious opportunity to call on him. And in the second place, he gives that ordinary directive to obey his word. And in the third place, he gives interprets that revealing response of what we are to give back to him. So in the first place, then, he provides this precious opportunity. And then in verse 11, we read that when it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, here he was passing through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, it says. He was on his final journey to Jerusalem. Never again would he travel through these parts of the world. And now here, as he's about to enter into a certain village, it doesn't say which one, just one of the villages along the way, 10 men who were lepers met him. You can see them standing afar off there, calling out to him as he passes by on the road. And because of their leprosy, they had to isolate, they had to social distance themselves from all the people. And leprosy is such an awful disease. It's a skin disease. It could be very, very contagious. And when a person had leprosy, they had to go outside of the villages. They had to wear torn clothes. They had to keep their hair unkempt. They weren't supposed to comb their hair. They had to wear face masks. And this was a customary way that the people would mourn for the dead. They did the same things as they mourned for the dead. So you can see the leprosy is really associated with death. These people were considered as good as dead. They were outcast, thrown out of the community. And when they saw other people, they had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." Can you imagine living like that? You couldn't let people come close to you. How awful that would feel. They had to live there in quarantine by themselves outside of these villages and cities. The main reason was so they wouldn't contaminate the other people, but there was also a ceremonial reason. They could not come into contact with other people. Even if they didn't get sick, it would make them ceremonially unclean, which means they couldn't go to the temple, they couldn't worship, they couldn't until they had purified themselves. And so there was also a spiritual meaning attached to it that the Lord Jesus that God had put into his laws. And they could not participate in worship themselves. They were banned, isolated from the people of God. What an awful disease. But if they eventually did recover from the disease, they would have to have a priest come, and a priest would have to inspect them. And after 7 days, if it was certain that the disease was gone, then they could follow this special ritual and they could be declared clean and they could be able to come back into the community of the people. And so you can see that this leprosy is really used in scriptures as a picture of our sin, of spiritual leprosy, of the defilement of sin. And that quarantine that those lepers had to go into really shows our quarantine from God, that because of our sin, we are separated from God, that we cannot go back to God. Isaiah 59:2 says, But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And so these lepers had to quarantine until they could be healed from their leprosy. But we are quarantined from God and separated from God until we are healed and cleansed from our sin. We cannot return to God in this way. We cannot meet God in this unclean condition because he is holy. And so these 10 lepers, you can see them standing there and they realize their condition. Even as Jesus and his company passed by, they stood afar off. They knew they could not get any closer. They felt that distance. They felt that separation, that uncleanness. And so they felt their need for help. And now as Jesus was coming into this village, entering this village, they see their chance. They see this one opportunity they have in their lifetime to be helped by Jesus. And it says immediately in verse 13, they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Here was likely the only time Jesus had come here, and only he would not be coming back again. This was the only opportunity they had to call on him. And so standing afar off, they cried out, even like that publican in a temple. You remember he stood in the back. He did not feel worthy, and yet he called out, "Lord, have mercy on me." And so these lepers, they also called, knowing they don't deserve it. And but these ten men are united together in their misery, and they're united together in their call, their cry to the one who is mighty to save. "Master," they say. They submit to him as Lord and as Master, as the only one who can help them, as the only one who could give them hope. They've heard, no doubt, that he healed others, and they believe that he will heal them, that he can heal them. And also they give themselves to Jesus. "Master, have mercy on us. Whatever you can do for us, help us." So this leprosy then is that picture of sin, we have said. And there is no greater misery on earth. We are cast out, quarantined from God. We've got to taste a little bit of that in the past month. We've tasted a little bit of what quarantine is like, and it's not nice. But it is our sin that has separated us from God. And even though the country has released us from this isolation a bit, we cannot just of ourselves decide to go back to God. But now Jesus here, he walked to this village because he came to this earth to cleanse lepers. And Luke 7:22 says to preach the gospel to the poor. This is a gospel that says that Jesus Christ has come to cleanse lepers, which signifies he has come to cleanse sinners from their sin. And so these lepers here had just a few moments of opportunity as Jesus passed by. But you and I, how often have we had Jesus passing by us in his word, giving us this opportunity every day to call on his name? These lepers have heard what Jesus could do for others who were sick, and he healed them all. And we have heard what Jesus does as he comes and he saves sinners. And we see people saved, and yet, do we believe he can save us? These lepers here, they used the means that were given to him, and they cried out with this loud and this desperate cry, "Have mercy on us." We have these means. We have the voice. You have the prayer that can reach to heaven where he sits now. And are we using it as these lepers are? Are we calling out to God as these lepers are? Will Jesus pass by this village again after today? This may be the last opportunity for some of us to call on his name, to call for his mercy. These lepers, they stood afar off, and they knew, they felt their condition. and separation. But do we recognize that it is our sins that have separated us from God? Do we stand, even if, as it were, afar off, and still call out to God to help us, to have mercy on us, even though we do not dare come near? We know that we do not deserve it. Is that how you feel? And yet you need to cry, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Has he become your only hope like these lepers? Has he become the only avenue for your healing, your spiritual recovery? See, these lepers, they did not just stay sitting there at a distance. They did not just watch Jesus pass by and say, oh, I think he can heal us. They did not just say, well, if he wants to, then he'll come and he'll heal us. They did not say, oh, we know we're unworthy, we better not go see the Master. No, their cry for mercy showed their desperate need, their felt need for deliverance and for saving. But if there is no sense of our need because of our condition, then there will also not be a cry for help. Why are we often so lukewarm? Why are our prayers always or often so cold, so plain? Is it not because we have such a little perception of how vile we are, how vile our sin and condition is before God? That we have such a little sight of our fatal condition, of our fatal disease? Is it not because we have such a little sense of the danger that we are in, and such a little need for a cure? See, this spiritual leprosy is a total and an eternal separation from God. And that this funeral mourning has already begun. These lepers had to dress in funeral clothing, mourning for sin. The mourning over our death has already begun. Held, even though while we still live in this world, we need to be cleansed. And Jesus is passing by now. And so these lepers cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And how does Jesus hear? How does Jesus respond to your request for mercy? See that in our second point, Jesus gives an ordinary directive. And so this call has gone out. Jesus has heard it. What will he do? Often in the Gospels, we can read that when the sick were brought to Jesus, he healed them all. Jesus always had compassion on the multitudes when he saw them. And certainly the sight of lepers that would draw the compassion of any human being that would see them in such a condition. Certainly this draws the compassion of the Lord Jesus out to them. And in verse 14 it says, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. He does not touch them like he did at some other miracles where he touched a leper and he was cleansed, or he touched other people who were sick. He doesn't say you are healed, but he does not immediately heal them. But here he first gives them an ordinary directive to obey. He gives them an ordinary command. Here is a test of their faith, to see if they'll obey his word. Show yourself to the priest. So here stand those 10 lepers. Leprosy, your skin is rotting. It's an ugly mess. The law condemns them. They're not allowed to associate with the people. They're unclean. Go show yourself to the priest. See, the Jewish ceremonial law said if the disease of leprosy had stopped and the priest had come and inspected them for a week and confirmed that it was over, then after that they could come and be cleansed with this ceremony. The priest had to take blood and had to sprinkle it on them, and then he could declare them clean and then he could go. But these lepers, these 10 men, were still standing there they were not healed yet. Show yourself to the priest, he says. What would you do? Would you say, well, I'm not healed yet, I can't go to the priest? These lepers were to start walking to the priest as if they already were healed. Jesus did not send them and say, go cleanse yourself and then go to the priest. No. But go show that you are clean. But they were not clean yet. And what happened? All 10 lepers obeyed immediately. All 10 lepers begin walking. There was no hesitation. There was no questions asked. There was no, give us a sign to prove that we'll be healed by the time we get to the priest. They don't stand there waiting, looking at their hands to see if they're healed before they start moving. But they went. They took those first few steps while they were still leprous. They took those first steps toward the priest while their skin was still hanging, while that putrid smell was still filling the air, while their fingers and toes likely hurt because of the disease, and they're to begin to walk to the priest. See, Jesus, who had come to fulfill the law, gives these men an ordinary directive to follow the ceremonial laws that were required of them. Go to the priest. To the priest and to the ceremonies that what? That pointed to Christ. To the blood that has to be shed before they could be pronounced clean, before they'd be able to be returned to the assembly of God. And so Jesus here is pointing these 10 lepers to himself, pointing them to himself and the sacrifices, even as he is now walking on his way to Jerusalem to shed his own blood for sinners. The lepers needed that blood sprinkled on them before they could be pronounced clean. And you and I need to go to Christ to be washed in his blood before we can be declared clean in the sight of God. Where the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, cleanses us from all sin. Jesus here points to himself and he says, if we confess our sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so verse 14 continues, and it says, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. As they walked in the way of faith and obedience, in the word that the Lord Jesus had given them, they were cleansed. Now consider, it wasn't their going that healed them. It wasn't their obedience that healed them. It was not their faith that healed them. But as they walked in faith, they were cleansed. They were healed. And this is a very important lesson that he's teaching us. This story of these 10 lepers points to that spiritual cleansing that is offered by God in the gospel through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, show yourself to the priest. You and I are infected with that spiritual leprosy of sin. We have been exiled from God. We live in that mandatory quarantine from God. And that quarantine for these lepers included wearing these clothes of mourning, these ripped clothes and the face mask. And they were considered as good as dead and cut off, separated from the community of God. And we felt a little what that was like. And in a sense, you die when you're cut off from the community and fellowship of people. There's a sense where you begin to die when you're cut off from the community and the fellowship of God and his people. But what we need to realize is that by nature we are born in this quarantine. We're born in that separation from God. And those of us who still are in sin are as good as dead. Those who still live in their sins are as good as dead. Separated from God, isolated by God because of your own sins. You do not have fellowship with God or His people. And after this life remains only an eternal quarantine if we're not cleansed from our sins now. And these 10 lepers had made their own little community, the 10 of them grouped together. And isn't that how we try to live on this earth? Even though we know that we do not belong to God, yet we try to make a life apart from God. And the problem in our Western world is that we can make that little life seem so good. We have so much materially. We do not want to wear funeral clothing. We do not want to go mourning and in separation from God. But if we just take one close look at ourselves, then we can see that we are leprous, dead in sins and trespasses, God's Word says. But now God comes in His Word and gives us an ordinary directive. He says, show yourself to the priest. Go show yourself to the priest who is able to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, Hebrews 7 says. Go to the Lord Jesus who shed his blood on Calvary for leprous sinners. Go to the priest who can cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. John says that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we say we're not leprous, we don't need healing, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful, He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1. Here is a priest who will never turn away a sinful leper. Go show yourself to the priest. And just like these lepers were commanded to go while they're still white with leprosy, we are commanded to go to Jesus while we are still filthy, sick, and diseased with sin. These lepers were to go to the priest as if they were already healed. We have to go to Jesus with that same confidence and faith that God's Word is so true and so certain that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin, that those who go to Jesus will be pronounced clean in the sight of God, that He will not cast out those who come unto Him. Here Jesus is teaching the importance of the obedience of faith. That even as we read in verse 10 with the servants, it is our duty to obey God. The servants don't have the right to question the master if he will perform what he says. It's not our right to question if God will perform His word when He commands us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. All these 10 lepers obeyed immediately. They knew what Jesus could do. They believed what Jesus could do and that He would do it. And yet, why is it then that we look at His word and say, if only He would do that for me? Why do we not believe and rest in God's word? And why do we not obey the commands if we believe that He is the King, the God of heaven and of earth? Well, it shows the extent of our leprosy, that we are dead in sin, that we're unable and unwilling to believe, and yet He commands us to go. Our leprosy of sin is so great. But God's grace in Christ is even greater. Jesus Himself said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Those lepers were cleansed as they went in faith. Sinners are healed as they go to Christ in faith. Though he were dead, though we are dead, unwilling and unable to believe in God, yet as we go, he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. All 10 lepers had faith to be healed. And the disciples asked Jesus in verse 5, increase our faith. But Jesus tells them through parables that true faith is enough, even though it may seem small. Faith in Christ and his word, not looking at ourselves. If these lepers had looked at themselves, they would not have seen the healing. They would not have seen the promise, but they would have seen their own leprosy. So often that's where we stop, don't we? We look at ourselves and we see nothing but sin, nothing but leprosy. But he says, go to the priest. If the lepers had stayed there standing until their leprosy was healed, they would never have gone to the priest. And if we stay standing here looking and waiting to see if our sin will disappear before we go to Christ, then we will never go to Christ. And we will never be healed because we never obey. There's a similar example in the Old Testament. Children remember Naaman the Syrian. He became leprous, and his servant girl sent him to Israel. And he ended up by Elisha. And Elisha didn't even come out of the house, but he sent a command to him and it said, go and wash 7 times in the river Jordan. And at first Naaman was angry. He didn't want to listen to that command. He thought that was too simple and the river was too dirty. And he wanted Elisha to come out and do some miracle and to show some power. But after his other servants convinced him, he went down to the river and he obeyed. And after dipping himself 7 times, he came up clean, cleansed, healed. Here Jesus has given us a simple directive to obey the gospel, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he will heal us of our disease of sin. Jesus has come to cleanse sinners, and we must go to him while we are still sinners. We must not wait until we start getting better before we go to him, because then we'll never go to him. We must not look for the signs and the evidences that he has started to heal us before we will follow his command. We must not expect some great miracles or of saving power before we start walking in that ordinary way of faith and obedience. He tells us what to do. We cannot wait until we think we see ourselves leprous enough before we go. We cannot wait until we feel our desires are strong enough like these lepers. But he says, go now. We must go to the priest. And it is when you call on him, Master, have mercy on us, that relief comes through obedience. See, the gospel comes in all its simplicity. There's nothing that we can do to add to it or take away from it, but simple obedience and humility. There's only one place for us to go with our sinful hands, and that is to be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is there. It is there as you go out to Christ that you find that there your sins are washed, your sins are broken that you could not overcome yourself. It is there as you walk to Christ in prayer that you find that cleansing work of his blood in your guilty conscience, that conscience that you could not erase from all your sin, but his blood washes it clean. It is there as you go to him and are washed and sprinkled with his blood that you find peace with God, as his blood alone cleanses and justifies you in the sight of God. It is as you go in your sin to the fountain, to the only priest, that you find his saving work and his cleansing work. And so Jesus gives us this ordinary directive to obey. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Here these 10 lepers obeyed and were healed. But what did they do when they realized Jesus had healed them? This we see in our third point. Jesus interprets a revealing response. All 10 lepers, they went. All 10 lepers were cleansed. But that's not where Jesus stops his story. Verse 15 says, on one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down at his feet and giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So here we see the response of one of the lepers. This man, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and he began to worship God. He turned back, which implies that before he even made it to the priest, he turned around and came back to give glory to God. Before the priest had said he was clean, before he was ceremonial clean, before he was permitted to associate with the people, he noticed that he was clean and he returned to give glory to God. He fell on his face, it says. It's a posture of humility and of worship. And he begins to give thanks to God and to glorify God. And so thanksgiving is not only something that's required in God's word, but thanksgiving is an evidence and a mark of saving faith. True thankfulness is a mark of saving faith. We have these three elements, the misery, deliverance, and gratitude, that are essential, that are necessary for that saving comfort. Psalm 100, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And so the response that a Samaritan gives, it shows, it reveals what is in his heart. His priority was God himself. God was the first priority in his life. Before he gained his own freedom, before he could go back to his family, before he could share this good news with others, he comes and exalts God. And so true gratitude, it exalts God. He showed by this gratitude that he loved the giver more than the gift. He glorified in God rather than in his healing. And this true gratitude, it's characterized by humility. He showed his great humility when he returned to worship Jesus and to glorify God. He remembered that only a short while before he was cast out. He was an exiled leper. But now he was cleansed. And true gratitude reveals what lives in our hearts. This man showed that his heart desired God. And often that's what blessings and trials do to our life. It tests us to reveal what is in our heart, to reveal where the love of our heart is. Is it in this world or is it to God? And now to make this even more evident, Jesus contrasts his thankfulness with the others, with the absence of the nine. And Jesus answering said in verse 17, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save or except this stranger. So these 9 men, they were Jews. Jesus had sent them to obey the Jewish ceremonial laws. And here already we see that it's unique because the Jews and the Samaritans, they hated each other. Both claimed to have the right religion. The Samaritans, they worshipped at Mount Gerizim, and the Jews worshipped at Jerusalem. But Jesus said in John 4 that the time was coming when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And here this is already being fulfilled. The Samaritan came to worship God in spirit and in truth, while the 9 Jews went to worship God in the ceremonies. The 9 Jews who had the true picture of Christ in the temple worship, in all the sacrifices, who had Christ's picture for them in the right way that God had set forth, they walked away from Christ without recognizing him as the Christ. And isn't that what John said in John 1? He was in the world, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And here it shows us how much we need the grace of God, not only to show us our leprosy, our sin, but to show us Christ, to reveal the mediator to us. Paul quotes Isaiah when he says in Romans 10, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. All 10 were cleansed, but only this stranger, only this foreigner turned back to give glory to God. Only this Samaritan saw Christ as he was manifest in the flesh. And where are the 9? Well, they never returned to give glory to God. And Jesus is pointing out their lack of gratitude here in these 9. There is no thanksgiving yet at this point from them. There's no giving glory to God for his deliverance here. And if we look at other scriptures, such as the parable of the soils, a miraculous faith can spring up. But when the cares of this world come in, they forget God, and there's no saving faith. The ungrateful heart is more concerned about temporal losses and gains in this world rather than being thankful unto God. The ungrateful heart uses religion to get what it wants, to gain what it wants. See, these 9 continued on to the priest and were declared clean. They'd be able to go and live their ordinary lives, be with their families and their work and homes again. But they value the gifts, but they neglect the giver. When Jesus was on his earthly ministry, multitudes followed him as well because of the miracles, either to see the miracles or to be healed. And yet, in John 6, when he began to speak of true faith, most of them left him. So true gratitude to God is an evidence of saving faith. But the miraculous faith believes only for what can be gained. And Brockle says too, humbleness of heart and love to God are absent. So what about us today? How many times have we been healed from sicknesses, spared from tragedies? How many blessings have we received in this life? Have we recovered from whatever effects COVID had in our little area of the world? Has it brought us to our knees in worship and thanksgiving? Has it taught us to worship God in spirit and in truth? Or do we simply go our way resting merely on the blessings that we have received and think that that's enough? Has it profited us in finding the giver rather than resting in the gifts? Has it turned us to God with an awareness that he controls everything? Whether it be sickness, whether it be leprosy, whether it be COVID, whether it be our health in any way, do we recognize that it is from him? But even those who know the grace of God and who have truly come to him in thankfulness, how often do we not also have to confess that we fall short of giving God the glory that he is due? How often do we fail to thank and acknowledge him and glorify him as we ought? How many blessings do we receive daily from his hand? But here in verse 19, Jesus says, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. The Samaritan here was not only cured from his leprosy, his disease, but also from his sin. He was made whole. The stranger received a consolation and an assurance from the Lord Jesus that the other 9 never. He could go his way with a greater thanksgiving in being cleansed from all his sin, cleansed of all unrighteousness through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had found Christ. And you may wonder then, how do we know if we walk like this Samaritan? Oh, there's a few things we can look at. The first is the very existence of faith in Christ for salvation. If we are focused on the Lord Jesus Christ alone for his salvation is already an evidence of faith fixed on him. By nature, we kick against simply trusting in him. By nature, we run away from the gospel and don't want to hear it. We do not want his help. But saving faith desires, it needs this only way of salvation. Faith is resting entirely on the promises of salvation in that infallible word of God. There's no other place to go. These are the promises that he has set. These are the promises that you cling to as your only hope. As those lepers, they began to walk with that word, go show yourself to the priest, believing that the priest would be able to pronounce them clean. If faith walks believing and patiently, believing that the promises are so certain that even though we don't see the evidences yet, that they will be fulfilled according to his word. These promises of God are yea and amen in him. And faith has a humility. Pride wants to do it our own way. Pride always wants proof. I'm not going to listen until I know for sure that that's the way he's going to save me. Pride wants miracles. We want some extraordinary salvation or wonder to happen. But humility submits wholeheartedly to God's way. And a true, humble faith will return to God, the author and the finisher of our faith. He'll return in thanksgiving like the Samaritan, because we know our unworthiness. We know the mercy of God. But faith also receives Christ rather than just the benefits of Christ. Then you acknowledge Christ as precious and not just what you can receive from him. Faith worships Christ. It needs that fellowship and that communion with Christ. That Samaritan needed to come back and worship Christ himself with a loud voice, glorify him. That was more important to him than being healed. And so what about you and I today? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And Jesus healed these 10 lepers to show that he came to shed his blood to cleanse sinners from their sins. And just like he healed all 10 lepers who called on him, he will heal all those who come to him in his word by faith to seek his cleansing, to seek his blood. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. He's the one who gives us this opportunity today, even as he enters this town by his word and spirit. He's walking among you today. And when the sick were brought to him, he healed them all, and he never turned anyone away. Do you need him today? He is that high priest who ever lives and is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession for transgressors. Even if you do not dare come because you feel that separation, you feel your unworthiness, do as the lepers and stand afar off and call upon his name, for he hears from heaven. All 10 lepers trusted, and all 10 lepers were healed. And Jesus will heal, he will cleanse, he will cure all those who come to him for cleansing of spiritual leprosy. That is his own word and his own promise. He's given us this ordinary directive to follow, that whosoever calls on his name shall be saved. His cleansing does not come by waiting to see if it will happen first before you believe, but it comes in the way of faith and obedience. It's not our faith that heals, but it's in the way, through the means of faith. And the evidence will also be seen as you go. That true faith will return to God, that author and that finisher of your faith, as you see and as you recognize in your heart and in your conscience the cleansing work of Christ. Go, show yourself to the priest. And as it came, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Go, show yourselves to Christ. And when you see that you are healed, glorify God. Amen.